It's a four-legged table. You two is four people. You may just be talking to me. I mean, I'm doing the group a total disservice representing them, because they're four people who are well able to represent each other. It's not a group with a singer and the backing band, or a guitar player and a backing band. It's four people in the tradition of the Stones, in the tradition of The Who or The Beatles. Groups that formed not because they were tried and tested musicians, but because they wanted to make music. And learning the instruments, in some cases, and certainly in our case, came afterwards. I mean, we formed the band before we could play. And we came out of a scene, I always hated that word, in Dublin, of just people like walking up and down the street in the same way the Stones and the Beatles did. You know, it was like John and Paul were just mates. And the same with myself and Edge. I have not got a Beatles complex or a Who complex or a Stones complex, but I often, just to try to explain to people the difference, I would suggest those examples in the way that we started. We had a spark, even when we had those three chords in our hand and we wrote a song, because we couldn't play other people's songs, we wrote our own songs. Even though we did all that, there was a spark there, just that spark. And that spark, we knew, four people knew, nobody else believed us, but four people knew that that spark was capable of great potential, forest fire potential. We just knew it.
In this country, there are people who think of you two as a political band. I mean, when I say political band, I would imagine that some people mean that as opposed to a band that doesn't care about world issues and just writes sort of songs about girls and boys, you know.
There are a lot of deaf, dumb and blind pop stars in the world, really. I mean, you meet people and they, you know, you talk to them about recording and they say, oh, it's really boring, you know, it's really boring being in the recording studio, or touring's really boring. And it's them that are really boring, usually. And I find that being uprooted from Dublin, Ireland, and thrown across the Western Hemisphere, my appetite got bigger and bigger with regards to just the things I was seeing and hearing and having to write down as a result of that. There's a line in Sunday Bloody Sunday which says, I can't close my eyes and make it go away. We can't just close your eyes and just pretend that the bombs that America is planting on European soil are not going to go off ever. You know, you can't just sit down and tell yourself these things, and a lot of people do. But I want our songs to reflect all sides of life. The girl in the car, as well as the police on our streets. Everything. And I don't want to leave one emotion. I'm jealous. You know, I'm jealous for all these different emotions.
Do you think that they also get embarrassed maybe sometimes? I think that
because they aren't as inhibited as I am, or as uninhibited.
Uninhibited.
Because I'm not inhibited. I mean, if I have one gift in life, is that I prefer to reveal rather than conceal. That's what soul music's all about. I want to talk about soul music because I want to be a soul singer. That's what I am. Okay, soul music's not about, by the way, it's not about a black voice. Soul music's not about doo-wop, doo-wop. Soul music is when you take what's on the inside and you bring it to the outside. It could be a scream. It could be twist and shout, twist and shout. It could be that. Or it could be Sunday Bloody Sunday. It could be anything. But that's what I'm becoming more and more interested in. And I can tell, you know, a singer is strapped to the microphone and he's giving you these, he's singing this song. And a lot of the times he doesn't believe in it. He doesn't believe in it at all. He's just enacting a character. But, you know, that's what soul music is about, you know. It's about freedom. It's about just taking your clothes off. In a song, I take my clothes off all the time in song.
But prior to the release of their current album, The Unforgettable Fire, he felt that U2 was in danger of becoming predictable.
People talk about progressive music. Well, progressive music must progress, mustn't it? Mustn't stay in the same place, else it becomes stagnant or stale. I think when we'd made War, you know, it was a stripped-down record, as I say, a raw record. And we made these bold statements, Sunday Bloody Sunday, New Year's Day, Surrender. And the atmosphere was strong. But I'm just saying that, you know, there we were becoming something. And we just had to say, well, hold on a second. People must not just have a one-dimensional picture of U2. There's other sides to you two. Sure, when we walk out on stage live, it's an all-out attack. It's a forceful thing. It's a passionate thing. But, you know, there are other sides. And they were on the records. They're on Boy. They're on October. The atmosphere, you know, other feelings that are much more probably Irish than a lot of our contemporaries. And we felt, no, if our music is going to be on the radio, if we're going to be a big group, we must do it on our own terms. And we mustn't just go to radio as a radio band. We must go to radio and challenge it in a way. Because if there's not new blood, if you apply a tourniquet to music, if you stop it, you'll kill it. You know, it will stop. And music was in danger, I think, over the last 5 years, becoming very homogenized, as I say, pasteurized production line music, you know. Music must open out again, must open out. So, okay, there was a danger that we could have put a straitjacket on ourselves, become a format in our own right. And so we had to pull at those chains a bit.
That people listen to lyrics that much? Or do you think that you're getting an audience that just is coming there and they're just screaming and letting out their tensions at a rock concert and the words aren't meaning anything?
Yeah, okay. Right. There are many different levels. People are into this group. And I used to say, I hope, you know, I believe everybody who ever came to a U2 concert knew what all the songs were about. But I don't care. You know, if there's people listening to the program and they don't know every word of every U2 song, well, that's fine. They're into it just because of the music, because of the sound of it. You know, there are people who are just into this group because Larry looks like James Dean. Our drummer looks like James Dean. I don't care. I don't care what level people are interested. See, this is not a po-faced preacher you're talking to. I'm a singer in a rock and roll group. Not a prophet or a politician or anything like it, you know. And there's many different levels to enjoy the sound, where the Edge plays guitar, the rhythm section, as I say, Adam and Larry, the vibe of the concert, the feeling. You know, I don't want to use the stage as a soapbox. No.
There was a statement that, I don't know who in the band said it, but that when you get really desperate, your soul comes through.
I think Edge was justifying some actions, but he feels that there are moments when it's right. If the guitars are out of tune, or if the amplifiers break down, that sometimes when you're not relying on musicianship, you've got to just rely on being a musician on the inside. You know, like that's, you know, again, getting back to just soul music.
Considering that none of you really were musicians.
Mm. No, we started. Yeah, we started the band before we could play.
You do think of yourselves as musicians now?
Actually, probably not.
What do you think of yourselves as?
I don't know what we think of ourselves as. I think we're just four people going nowhere who decided to go there together, you know? And it ended up being somewhere.
You don't think you're there yet, though, do you?
No.
Do you ever really want to get there?
Someday, you know, over the rainbow.
Well, now, we talked before about a future, and you said you were talking to people about staging and different ideas and film and things like that. What do you mean, a future?
We don't think too much. We live day to day, really, but you're working. There is, I suppose, a light in the distance which you're, you know, squinting at, you know, working towards. I mean, I'm excited about working with film. I'm excited about working in various different areas that have been opened up as a result of our work in U2.
Bono, if he thought that U2 was too serious a group.
Yes. Yes, Lisa.
You're trying not to smile while you're saying this, I know.
This is true. People do think of us as serious.
No, really?
Yes. But it's, no, I mean, we don't take ourselves very seriously.
You don't.
We take the music seriously, but we don't take ourselves very seriously. I mean, it's a real circus. Being, you know, around this, the whole organization, the road crew, the group, on the roads, chaos.
Why, how?
Complete chaos. Just the way people are. We're Irish. I mean, Irishmen can't be serious for very long, you know?
But Irishmen also usually have this reputation for, like, you know, being storytellers and carousers and... I don't get that feeling.
There are a few good storytellers around, but we're an Irish group. We let loose in ways, in our own way. You know, I try to avoid the what I call, you know, the rock and roll circus, which is, you know, the kind of cliched lifestyle. I like to avoid cliches in the music. I also like to avoid it in the lifestyle. And I'm not into that whole rock and roll star trip of surrounding yourself with people who applaud your every dull action, you know, as you invade yet another nightclub with, you know, I'm not into that. But, you know, I spend, after, you know, concerts, if I can, or if people are around, I'm always around, walking around, you know, meet people, I will go out with people. Yeah, I think there is a slight one-sided picture maybe of the group in that light, because our music is not, I don't think it's a lightweight music or party time exactly. But
what is party time music?
I don't know, you Americans invented it, didn't you?
No.
This expression, let's party.
Bono for joining us on the Inside Track. I also spoke to U2 bassist Adam Clayton and asked him how he got the reputation of being the wild member of U2.
Well, it's true that I have that reputation. Whether the reputation is founded on any real fact is another question. I think I don't live that badly. I think it's in comparison to the others that I seem that much more out to the left of field. But I'm not really. I think during the earlier periods of the band, when we were coming to America the first time, when we were going to the continent, Europe and England, I was a lot more badly behaved. I mean, I would certainly, during those periods, hang out in sleazy nightclubs and stay up all night and then do a gig the next day. But I can't do that anymore. I don't think it's because I'm getting old. I just think it's because I'm actually bored with it. I've seen it. And that was the time when there was a big club movement, especially in New York with after-hours places and things like that. And that's a process of the actual excitement that's, you know, the actual groove that's happening in the music business. And I think everything is very dull and staid now. And when the next revolution comes along, maybe I will participate again, but I've calmed down an awful lot.
It's recognizable in the band. Is it because you're the bass player? Is it that age-old thing or what?
I mean, it probably is that, but I think it's also, you know, you can set the situation up to be recognized if you want to. I mean, when David Bowie walks into a room, he's walking into that room making sure that everybody in the room knows he's walked in. You know, he's thinking about the entrance. And that becomes a way of life after a while. I think I tend to be the opposite. I'll sort of slide into a room inconspicuously. And it suits me better. I mean, it's much more the way I am. I don't particularly like, well, I suppose I'd be a liar to say I don't like fame and recognition. I don't like certain aspects of it. I don't want to be noticed all the time. I'm a little bit more discreet in myself than that. Because it comes down to your opinion of yourself. I don't think what I do is that exceptional, or I do look upon it as a job, I suppose, more than anything else.
You do?
Yeah, in a funny way. I mean, I really enjoy being on stage, and that's the moment I live for. All the rest of the paraphernalia of rock and roll is, you know, it's a distraction from that moment.
Soundtrack. I asked U2's Adam Clayton if he felt that bass players are neglected when it comes to handing out the credit for a band's success.
I accept the job of being bass player, and I realized that it's not the same job as being a singer or a lead guitar player. It is an important job, and I don't expect to get hailed as the most innovative person in that area, because I don't really believe that bass at the end of the day is that kind of a thing. I mean, a great song very rarely hinges on what the bass player is doing.
What? All that Memphis Stack stuff and all that?
Yeah, yes, I agree. That is good bass playing, but it's not the bass player sticking out and saying, look at me, if I wasn't here, this song wouldn't happen. It's the gel of the whole thing, and you've got to fit into it. And that's the way I see it. You fit into it. I mean, you take pride. I mean, it's really a very simple piece of bass work going on, but if it wasn't there, it would be a different song. But I accept that as the gig. I don't need a spotlight.
You don't have other things you want to do musically outside of this band?
No, not at the moment. I mean, how can I tell? I may become fed up with the direction that the U2 material goes. But I think by and large, it reflects my own creativity and feeling. And it pushes me into areas where I wouldn't naturally go, which again, you know, at the time you resent, but that's important to be pushed and pulled in different directions.
Which areas wouldn't you normally go?
Well, I get very fed up with 4/4 bass lines. Like things like Gloria and that kind of thing. But I realise that they're necessary.
I hate to keep bringing up what things that Bono said. He did say that the first three albums were like this trilogy and that that had ended and now we were going to see a whole new U2 direction. Do you agree with that? Do you feel happened?
I think what we're going to have is another trilogy, starting with The Unforgettable Fire. I don't know where it'll end. But I think it makes sense to think of the time scale of the records that we do as the first record is, in a sequence, if you like, is moving in another direction and opening a few doors. Then you're obviously going to continue that development onto a second record and still experimenting and finding things. And by the third record, you're probably going to know roughly what you're doing and be getting up to the stage where you're a bit bored with it. And that'll be the final one.
Were you bored with War?
No. War was wonderful. But the point at which the boredom comes is not when you're making it, but it's towards the end of touring it. And we were beginning to see all the naiveties on War, and that was really what made us say, that is the end. We're not making Son of War or War 2. We're cutting and running in a different direction. The one thing that we did manage to do on War was actually write some songs, which we previously hadn't been able to do. And there are some great bits on that record. I mean, Drowning Man is an all-time classic for me. I love that song. I just think something like a song didn't really work at the end of the day. Two Hearts I like a lot, but Refugee, it was interesting, but I don't know whether it was the right thing for us to do. And then there was that kind of Red Light and Surrender, which was another sort of weird twist. I mean, I think it's a great volume of work, but I don't think we wanted to go back there. I think we really wanted to move away from it.
You can't stand playing on stage.
Well, most of them have gone. Oh, I like Seconds on War. Seconds, great track. Anything I can't stand. Ah, yeah, there is actually. I'm really getting to dislike Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, I'm afraid to say.
Particularly with the crowd singing along and all of that. I mean, do you think it's show business at this point, or?
Yeah, I suppose it. I suppose that is what I think. I suppose it's the predictability of it. I don't like the anthem-like quality of it either. It's too much of an anthem. It's not subtle enough.
What can you do about your audience, though? If you didn't play that, they'd tear the place apart.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't really mind the fact that we have to play it. And, I mean, I'm only saying from my point of view, I'm sure Bono and Edge feel strong enough about, or very strongly about, playing it. You know, that's life. You know, you have to do some things you don't like doing.